I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. I wish I remembered what plane we were talking about.
We may not have even been talking about a plane. For all I know, it was a roller coaster ride.
Could very well be.
Anyway,
we have Tony Washburn with us from NASA.
NASA.
He's out from Langley, of all places. And
that's in Virginia, right?
Right.
It is.
Got to get that right.
And we're going to talk about the Sustainable Flight Demonstration Project.
We were discussing this earlier, and we figured that sustainable flight is just the ability to keep the airplane up in the air.
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
There's the whole program.
That word sustainable means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
It does. Sure does.
Yeah.
So what's the goal of this project?
So the goal of this project is really more oriented towards reducing the amount of fuel needed or the amount of energy in flight. So while sustainable is a big word that means all sorts of things, in this case, we're really working on sustainability from less emissions in the atmosphere.
Okay, so have you guys considered putting pedals on the airplane? I mean, you got 250 people back there, right?
That's a lot of horsepower.
So what I recall is the pedal approach has been tried in the past.
Didn't work out.
It's just not that convenient for passengers.
But boy, think of the exercise.
Yeah, but there's always a slacker in the bunch. That'd be me.
So you're looking at increasing general aircraft efficiency. You're looking at alternative propulsion systems.
So in the sustainable flight demonstrator project, it's really about the airplane, the airframe itself. NASA has other projects that are looking at propulsion improvements and other things as well. But in this case, we're trying to see if a different approach to a commercial transport in the single aisle class would yield a significant benefit in terms of energy needed and thus emissions emitted as well.
Okay.
So, and the concept is, it's called a transonic truss brace wing. So the transonic means, of course, we fly at normal speeds, Mach 0.8 or so, just like A320s and Boeing 737s now. And then same seat class sort of idea, but the wing itself is the big difference. And it's a very high aspect ratio wing, or small chord, high span. And then to do that without a huge structural penalty, you add a truss to support it from underneath. And so we've studied this with partners for maybe 15 to 20 years at this point, and it's all looking good. But now it's time to actually build an X-plane and see if we can learn what we need to learn to see if that would work as a product.
Can I make an assumption that this wing is going to move up from the mid-wing position to higher up on the fuselage to accommodate that strut?
That's a great assumption, and that's correct.
Okay.
So it looks like a high wing a little bit, but with that strut, of course, that adds some aerodynamic complexities to be able to make that work out without penalties.
Aerodynamic drag.
It is a drag.
Yeah. The strut that you're using, that is also another wing too, isn't it?
So it can be, or it maybe isn't. And so as we've gone through the optimization process with ground tests and wind tunnels and also with computational simulations, it seems to optimize out where you carry a little bit of lift on that strut. So a little bit of lift, but not too much, because then you end up with other troubles with interference and like choke flow.
Okay. Yeah. Choke flow being?
The flow goes supersonic in the whole channel there, and then you end up with a large drag increase.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the first example of that I can think of, believe it or not, World War One Fokker triplane, the middle wing is barely doing anything at all on it because of the restricted airflow. It does look
cool. So they left it.
Yeah, it's very identifiable, right?
Yeah, yes, yes. So when you say X-plane, we're going to be talking a single-seater test bed, right? We're not going to go right for something larger.
It is large. So it is an X-plane, so it's not a Y-plane, but it is large. The span, 145-ish feet.
That's pretty big.
And it'll have two crew, at least, in the cockpit, and then, of course, some test engineers and things like that on board as well.
Oh.
So it is, we're building this X-plane off of an MD-90 frame. And so there are some reasons why we did that. There were trades done at the beginning, and one of the reasons is we're working with Boeing, who's actually contributing more than NASA to this progress. And they own the MD-90, all the IP, so they had, it's easy access to the drawings and everything like that to make modifications.
I would think that'd be hard because, as you said earlier, we're moving the wing to the top. The fuselage was never designed to accommodate the spar loads at the top. They brought it in from the bottom. So that's got to make it complicated.
It's nice to talk to someone who knows what's going on. So you're right. The current intent is that the wing will just sit on top of the fuselage and be fastened rather than integrated into the fuselage for the X-plane. That will have some penalties, but we're not trying to actually achieve the full performance. And it just makes it an easier process to integrate that onto the fuselage that way. Now, we're still working, and we may end up changing that mindset at some point, depending on how things work out with everything else on the aircraft.
All right. Well, what about the wing? You know, a fuselage is no problem. You get them anywhere. But a wing, that's going to be specially built for this project.
Absolutely. Yep. So it's the MD-90, the first thing I think is to remove the engines and then to pull the wing off. And maybe I may have that reversed. Then they're going to cut 19 frames out of the forward fuselage, so just after the cockpit. And that'll shorten it up. And then the wing will go on about where the end of that 19-frame cut is. And it'll be upstream, and then the strut will actually integrate in where the gear are now. And okay. We'll use the same gear that the MD-90 has.
So you're going to leave the base strut spar assemblies all the way to the gear.
Right.
Okay. So, yep. And, well, you know, they're cutting 19 frames. There goes first class.
Yeah, really.
It's all economy.
Or it's all first class.
Maybe.
It's an X-plane. They won't do that.
It's X-class.
Listen, it'll turn out like every other airliner, a highly efficient school bus with very small seats.
I have no comment.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah.
Like a great project. The thing that I like about it is that you guys are using already existing components, because to build a fuselage from scratch, significant time and resource expenditures.
And so, you use the word will. So in other words, you haven't actually started construction?
Correct. Boeing has taken possession of two MD-90s at this stage, but the deconstruction process, I don't know how far along they are in that.
I volunteer to help. I can take a sawzall to anything.
I know you guys were talking about, is it demonstration project?
Or demolition, yes. Demolition. Come on.
A little of both. I'm good with a hammer, too, so.
And we work cheap.
Yeah.
Well, there may be openings.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Now, you just raised an important question. You said Boeing has two of these MD-90s. Are you building one or two of them? Or are you going to do a mishmash?
We're building one.
Well, they got to have, you know, a backup in case they cut the wrong frame.
I was going to say the other one is spare parts, you know, what we call a parts pig.
So right now you've done design, you've done CAD, you've done a wind tunnel simulation, maybe some model wind tunnel work?
Some model wind tunnel work. And when I say that, we've done quite a bit of wind tunnel work, but not with this approach to the X-plane.
So right, the wing on top, yeah.
Yeah, so more of an integrated thing that you would do from a clean sheet. And that's what drove us to deciding this X-plane was necessary. And that is because the questions remaining are mainly about the details and if our predictions actually work in flight.
That's what I'm wondering. What kind of improvement in efficiency are you hoping for or shooting for?
So one of the things about this project when we started it was that NASA set like a time limit. So we wanted to go after something that could be a possibility as a product in the 2030s. So not too far advanced. And that then drove us to something that could be manufactured in that process, in that time frame. So what are we hoping that this would achieve if this X-plane works out and there's a decision to build a product at some point? The expectation is it could be up to about 30% better in fuel burn than current planes, like 320 Neos and
Maxes. And at the same working loads.
Same kind of seat class.
Right. Yep,
same missions, basically.
I mean, yeah, we can make it really efficient if it only takes three passengers.
Right.
that's impressive.
Yeah. And the trade show that this approach from the clean sheet design gets better compared to those aircraft the longer range it is. And so it looks very good for long range, and then a little, we're working on how good it is at shorter ranges as well.
Now, is there any plans to try and boost the speed of the aircraft?
No. Okay. I don't think so. I think that we're satisfied with the current single aisle speed, which is Mach 0.8-ish. It suits the routes and the turnaround time. One of the good things about this is it really works still in the same airspace system that we have. NASA's doing modeling now to see what the nuances are, because these planes like to fly high.
Right.
So that may be an effect on the whole airspace, and we're modeling that right now.
Well, I'm hoping that this design change, this philosophy, would be scalable across all the range of airliners that are out there.
So there's certainly the first target is that single aisle, and maybe even a little bit larger than what we see now in the single aisle class, like the 757 sort of scale. But there's no physical reason that we know of that it can't go larger. Now, it will probably have folding wingtips if it comes to product, because the span is so much greater than current gate.
Right, airports can't accommodate it.
Right, and that's one of the things NASA is also modeling, is what the ground traffic would have to be to accommodate this, and if it could sometimes use twin aisle gates, things like that.
Right. Well, that's amazing stuff. I can't wait to see this. See some hardware here.
Well, the hardware that I saw yesterday at NASA was they have a small model of it.
Right.
And it's very cool.
Well, I want to see the real thing.
So do I.
So I hope that you get a chance to see the real thing late 2028.
Nice.
That's the goal.
That's not
nice.
Far off.
Nope.
And that has caused us to do some things in reverse with this X-plane, where we normally would do more groundwork before we start.
Okay. Well, I hate to cut you short, but we're out of time. Stop up at the NASA Pavilion to find out more about the Sustainable Flight Demo Project. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.